her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited.
We are gathering information this morning, just as everyone else is, about the arrests that the... Is it the FBI? The literal
correct.
FBI?
Yes, the one. Uh-huh. They've got a presser scheduled at the top of the hour.
I has wow. arrested right Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups.
I thought it was 10 Eastern.
Oh, maybe I misread it.
Yeah.
For illegal gambling. And if you're not sure about what Chauncey Billups is up to these days, guys, he is literally the Trailblazers head coach.
So ABC News putting out there that he has been charged in an illegal poker operation that's tied to the mafia. So it doesn't have to do with him coaching wow. games or point shaving or anything, but an illegal poker game, legal poker operation tied to the mafia. They also say Heat guard Terry Rozier, who was also arrested today, was arrested in a separate but related betting case.
Yeah.
What do we want to bet the related part is?
The mafia. If you've watched any gambling documentary about sports athletes and gambling, it's almost always tied to the mafia in some form, as they are feeding those to people who are then also taking advantage as part of the old payola happening.
So you think his role was to get players or people with a lot of money?
I don't
to
know.
These games? That's what it kind of smells like.
Yeah, for him, sure. Getting yes. players in, and then maybe some of those players like Terry Rozier get in too deep, and next thing they know, they're yeah. point shaving.
Wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how all these dots start to connect, and if there's any more arrests that happen between now and 9 o'clock when that press conference for the FBI is scheduled to start out in New York.
Last night, obviously, and we will continue to monitor this as information comes in. There's not a ton out there, but as the guy said, there is a press conference scheduled for, what, an hour or so?
Hour
from
9
now.
O'clock.
Bucks get Central. The win last night, 133-120 over the Wizards. It was a really good game to watch. I really enjoyed it. Bucks came out to a hot start. I think they scored 40 points in the first quarter. Obviously, Chris Middleton was back. Gabe, you said that the honoring of Chris Middleton, you had some thoughts about that.
Yeah, I wish the video was a little bit better than it was. I mean, it was fine. I just thought that for Chris, you could go above and beyond. Like, Chris Middleton is somebody who's going to have his number retired eventually. Like, he's going to come back. His number is going to be raised to the rafters. There aren't very many Bucks that have the resume in their history that Chris Middleton has. Champion, all-star, Olympian, gold medalists. And I thought the video could have been maybe a little bit better, especially when Giannis was talking on Thanalysis about how he was hoping Chris was going to cry. And when Giannis said that, I'm like, oh, man, everyone's going to be a puddle. Clearly Giannis knows something. This video is going to be touching. It's going to be emotional. And it was maybe just a click above what, you know, a normal kind of welcome back type of video would be. I didn't see the one they did for Bud last year that I know Giannis obviously pushed for them to do. But it's tough, right? It's in the middle of an NBA game. You don't want to have the video go too long and interrupt game flow, but... If you were going to do that, to me, Chris Middleton is the guy you do that for.
Well, the one job that you have is to try to make Chris Middleton cry, try to shake him up a little bit, right? Make him a little bit emotional before a game. Good on Chris Middleton for doing his one job, which was to not let it.
Well, but that's the thing. It wasn't, they did it in the first time out is when they played the video. So they didn't do it when they did starting lineups. So Chris got a pretty good ovation when they announced him as the last guy to come out for the Wizards for the starting lineups. But then they played the video during the first media timeout.
So Bucks get the win. And this is the thing with the Bucks this year is they are trying to be a more fast pace, right? The big criticism of the Bucks last year was that they were old and they were slow. And that was a big reason why they struggled to compete with some of the younger, faster teams in the league, specifically in the Eastern Conference. Now, I did feel like they were faster. Do you like the new look offense? Do you like the new look lineup that they have? Because it was interesting to see Kyle Kuzma out there and interesting to see Miles Turner out there and AJ Green out there. Like, do you like the way that they are constructing these lineups?
I like Kuz coming off the bench. That makes a ton of sense. I think it seems like the goal is when Giannis is on the floor, they want to have as many shooters as possible. And that's just not what Kuz is. So it seems like the best way to highlight his abilities as a player and use his athleticism are to, not that he's going to exclusively play when Giannis is off the floor, but I think when Giannis is off the floor, then Kuzma is out there. And uses that athleticism to get to the rim, grab rebounds, play some defense, and just high maximum energy type of minutes from Kuz.
Why did Portis not start?
Because he never starts.
I don't think Bobby had a great night.
It was a quiet night. I don't know if it was, like, got a couple of shots up. It's not like he went 2 for 10 or something. It was just a quiet night off the bench. Just a quiet night for Bobby. Not okay. A big deal.
Giannis was solid.
Very, 37 points.
If 37, yeah, what, 15? Did he get to 15 rebounds? Was 14
rebounds. 14 rebounds,
14
five
and 5. Yeah,
I just happen to have the box
solid, I guess. Yeah, I guess you could call that solid.
He averages 40 points per game against Washington. So right there, you know, around his
so he had a disappointing game. A little below average.
Could have taken another three. Missed the first one, but nailed that other one.
So when the one he hit, there was a collective groan as everyone is like basically saying, "Why, Giannis? Why are you? Yeah,
swish.
It
yeah.
did."
Well, because the previous one hit the glass. Like,
previous two weren't great.
The big doink. So Bucks out to a good start. Now they go to they go up to Toronto right for Friday, and I think I saw that the start of that game is moved because of the World Series.
Yes.
So just something to keep in mind as you are looking for the Bucks in action again later this week. We got to take a break on the show. Got a lot of stuff still coming up. Stick around. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this. But let me tell you guys about my friends over at Closets by Design. If you're looking to be more organized and you're trying to bring more beauty to your home, I cannot recommend Closets by Design enough. I was really struggling. I'd walk into my closet and I just had a lot of stuff. And I know that's a first world problem, but for me, it caused a lot of anxiety and I just needed somebody to go in there, declutter, organize my space. So Closets by Design did just that. They're a leader in custom storage solutions since 1982, combining quality, beauty, and a true commitment to customer satisfaction. And you're looking for a satisfied customer? You got one right here. My closet is clean. It is organized. It is beautiful. And it no longer creates anxiety for me when I walk in there trying to pick out my outfits for the show every weekend. No obligation, in-home consultations, custom designs, and the best value in the industry. And maybe you're saying, no, I don't need my closet organized, Jen. I'm not like you. I don't wear clothes for television for work. What about a mudroom? What about a pantry? You must have areas in your home that you continue to wish were more organized, and Closets by Design can be your answer. If you're ready to get organized, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
yes,
do.
Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Where? Sure do.
On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
He meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Joining us now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is the head coach of your Whitewater Warhawks. It is Jace Rendall. Good morning, Coach. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. Appreciate you having us on the program and looking forward to our conversation.
I hope you'll appreciate this, but Roam Free in the YouTube stream said that you look like Jordy Nelson's brother.
I'll take it. Jordy Nelson, stud.
Right?
Farmer. I like that too. Give
me them roots. Hard worker. You know you got the work ethic nailed down. So we all know that last year was not the season that you guys wanted. 6-4. I think I saw an article that said that 4 losses for the first time since 2002, which, by the way, is a testament to just the team that you guys have put together, the program that you guys have put together. When did you know going into the 2025 season that you had done enough that this year would be different?
Yeah, I think it started as soon as we had those exit interviews with all the players last November. I think you could tell there was a chip on everybody's shoulder. They knew we were better than that. They didn't want to go out that way in regards to the seniors and the leaders in the program. You come out of that first or that fall semester last year, and we had nobody transfer out, right? You had nobody hit the transfer portal and try to leave. I think they were believing in what we were doing and buying into the philosophy of the program. And then you hit the spring semester with our workouts and our training. And I just think we had great leadership in that part of the season. And guys were in my office talking, and we just worked together from a leadership standpoint, put a good foundation put together in spring ball, had a bunch of new coaches added to the staff, came out of spring ball feeling pretty good about our team, and then had a great fall camp. And here we are, heading into game 7 of the year. So been a lot, but I think we kind of knew it right away, or I felt it from the players with nobody leaving. But when we met one-on-one in those individual meetings, there was a little chip on the shoulder with something to prove. And We knew we're going to have a good team coming to this fall.
How are you guys feeling about the matchup with Platteville, who is, I believe, in the top 10?
Yeah, huge challenge. I mean, they got the better. They were the champs last year, so they came out on top last year, and they got the better of the game, and we played against them. So, but I think Whitewater, right? You come here, you want to be the best, so you get excited for those opportunities. The challenge of playing a team that's ranked high, or a team that's, you know, in on the top of the standings in the conference, and so it'll be a huge challenge. But we're looking forward to it. You know, we believe in our team, and we believe in the growth that we've made through our first six games. We've been challenged a bit, and we've, I think, managed that well and grown from that. And now we got to put it on the field this Saturday against a really good team.
Coach, the WIAC is tough every year, but is this year a little bit different? Eight teams in the conference, six, that's right, six are ranked in the top 25.
I think so. I mean, we'll see how things shake out as the remainder of this season plays out, but you know, you got a lot of coaches that have been in this league for many years, and, you know, Whitewater's kind of been at the top. I came to Whitewater in 05 and, you know, played in the national championship game, and seven consecutive games after, or years after that, in the national championship game. And trust me, that wasn't because of me, but as you look at the program, right, it's been at the top for a long time. So these other schools in the league have you know, not only been chasing it, right, they've been investing in their institutions and their programs. And they've been playing at a high level the last few years. And so that doesn't necessarily surprise me. I've been in this league that long, too. So you know that these teams are going to be really good and these programs are going to be really good. So hands full, tough conference this year.
If you're just joining us, we've got Jason Rendall joining the program this morning, head coach of the Whitewater football team, 5-1, headed into a matchup against Platteville this weekend, also 5-1. What has been the key to the success this season? I know you guys have focused on limiting the turnovers, and it seems like that's something that you're seeing game in and game out.
Without a doubt, you know, on offense, we got to make sure we protect that football. You know, nothing too mystical or magical about it. It's really, you
shout
know,
out Benson Boone. Are you a Benson Boone fan? Is that what that was, Coach? A little mystical magic?
No, game? I think that's a Mike Tomlin. I think I took that from him. But yeah, I mean, the key, you know, playing our game, right? Adversity happens. You got to be able to manage that. You know, we're kind of young on some positions, and we've, you know, hopefully been taking steps and grown and improved through the course of this year. But it's playing our game. It's being fast. It's being physical. It's being smart, disciplined, poised. It's sticking together, you know, playing as a team, having that, you know, that love for the team where I'm willingness to sacrifice for the betterment of the team, because, you know, we got to be able to do it together. So, you know, I think playing great defense, establishing the run offense has probably overall been the key to how we've had success so far.
Is recruiting tougher now, Coach, with the transfer portal? I mean, do you get a lot of kids from the transfer portal, or do you mainly just go and recruit high schools and try to pull the talent out of there?
I think it's a combination of both. You know, recruiting, I think the playing field probably levels out just a little bit more than it used to because of social media, because of huddle and the ability to easily access and communicate and evaluate people in an instance, right? I could find a name right now. I could Google them, and I could be talking to them by lunchtime and having a conversation and get a visit scheduled. So I think a lot of programs are able to do that. And I mean, you can have student assistants, right? You can have helpers that maybe aren't in a full-time role doing a lot of that work too on the front end. So the transfer portal, I think that's opened up, you know, again, made it easily a little bit more accessible to all programs to be able to hit up transfers and all that. So is a little bit more difficult, yes and no, but I still think it comes down to be able to evaluate the tape, be able to, you know, project and see talents and skills on that tape and making sure you're getting the right people within your program, whether they're transfers or from high school.
Does NIL trickle down to D3, Coach?
Yeah, it has a little bit. I know other sports probably a little more prominent than football. We haven't had to do it much in our program.
Sports more prominent than football? What are we talking about here, Coach? There's nothing more prominent than football.
Yeah, maybe that was the wrong word. But football's got 22 guys, right? You got 11 guys on the field. You look at basketball, right?
Sure.
Basketball's got 5 guys, yeah. Right? It's a little bit easier to maybe keep a starting shooting guard in your program with one deal versus, you know, where do you even start in football besides, you know, the quarterback? But so it's there a little bit on our level, but not a ton yet.
To be fair, Coach, we use the wrong words on this program all the time. So welcome, you know, no judgment here.
How proud of you are, though, because you mentioned you mentioned the transfer portal and nobody transferred out. So how proud of you that of your team and your coaching staff that you've built the culture where everybody does want to be there and build what you have with the 5-1 record this year?
Yeah, without a doubt. Super proud of that. You know, last year was hard. There's, you know, a lot of trials and tribulations on this marathon and this journey. But to see the players sticking it out, right, and not trying to take that path of least resistance and find a new home, but, you know, put their head down and keep fighting and keep pounding away, yeah, that makes, you know, that warms the heart. That makes you feel pretty good as a head coach when guys are wanting to be here, even though it, you know, you've done something that hadn't happened in 20-plus years.
I want to talk about your quarterback from a competition competitor standpoint. Justin Klinkner is a kid from Wisconsin. But you, doing your due diligence as a coach, you bring in some guys through the transfer portal, one who was at the University of Pittsburgh, the other who was at Grand Valley State. But he was not intimidated by that prospect. He was not intimidated by that situation. Just talk about how you saw that level of maturity and that competitiveness that you want in your starting quarterback from him through that situation.
We came out of last year with only two quarterbacks on the roster, so we know we had to leverage the transfer portal and create some competition in that room. And as you said, right, we brought a third transfer in too, and Justin Klinkner didn't flinch. You know, he embraced that. He took it head on and just put his head down, went to work. You know, we were really fair in spring ball. Everybody got balanced reps. We had 3 guys fighting for it in spring ball. Same thing in fall camp, getting balanced reps with the starting unit. And again, Klinkner just put his head down and went to work. And I think there's a lot of that makeup and character on this team is, you know, we're not going to run away from the hard. We're not going to, you know, shy away from competition. And, you know, that's a perfect example of him. Justin's a tough kid. He was a really good high school wrestler. He came from a good high school program with some really good coaches there with the Shilcocks who have, you know, are alum of the program. So, yeah, just super proud of Justin and excited to see his growth going into game 7 this Saturday in the Perk.
Coach, how important is it you to develop relationships with these high school coaches? There's been some criticism this week of the program, the big program northwest of you, that the coach there doesn't really have good relationships with high school coaches. How important is that to you and your program?
I think it's key. You know, a lot of high school coaches, in which they should, right? They're going to advocate and promote their players. But you want the relationship to be established where they'll be honest with you, right? This guy's probably not somebody you want to go after. This guy definitely is. So, you know, whoever is a lot of the high school players, who is their mentor? Who are they leaning on? Often it's that high school football coach. So that's probably going to be the number one influencer in that decision-making process. So as us college coaches, being able to have a relationship with them, being able to have an honest relationship with them, I think is pretty key to getting the right people in your program when you're doing the recruiting.
Jace, what do you want people to know about how they can support the program, how they can check out games?
Yeah, appreciate you asking that. You know, first and foremost, you know, we got an auction coming up, Wally and Rod's auction on November 8th in Whitewater. It actually supports football, basketball, and baseball. Baseball is the national champs last year, so we'll take any items, right? Anything, if you want to support alumni out there that are listening for any of those sports or just a general student, you know, we'd love to take any sports memorabilia, entertainment tickets, anything that you'd want to donate to the program so we could auction off. That'd be great. From a football standpoint, we've got a quarterback club that's been around since 1956, and that directly helps our program. And you can go to the website and find all that information. So anything with the auction, you can reach out to me, find my email online, but would love to support. It's our 30th year of doing it. Awesome community event, and it directly supports the men's basketball, football, and baseball programs.
Well, congratulations on a great start to the season. I know it's a long way to where you guys want to be, but we really appreciate you taking the time, Coach. Jace Rindahl, University of Wisconsin Whitewater Warhawks football head coach, joining us this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, thanks so much. Go Warhawks.
He does look like Jordy Nelson.
He does.
I'm looking over here at the thing. And I appreciate that, you know, he was like, I said the wrong word. I was like, well, happens here.
Stick around if you want. Listen to Chewy talk for 2 minutes.
I'm not alone.
Let me tell you about our friends at Events by Design. You can boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. It is time. If you have not started, you're behind right now. If you have not been planning for that holiday party, good news is Events by Design can help. They can help you catch up. The creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work they do, believing that every event should not only be successful, but fun. One that people are still talking about years later. So if you're looking to help retain that top talent, just reach out to Events by Design, because for over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. Just search online, Events by Design. They design you party.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Well, as hesitant as I am to dive into this pool, it's time for Top 8 at 8.
Eight.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top eight answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got, Gabe?
I have a list of 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans. 800-990-3776. We go back to our old friend Aaron Rodgers. Playing against the Green Bay Packers for the first time this week. Has an opportunity to do something only a handful of other quarterbacks have done. That's beat every team in the league. So I am looking at Aaron Rodgers, and of the 31 teams that Aaron Rodgers has gone up against, I am looking for the 8 that he has thrown either 0 or 1 interceptions against. So teams that Aaron Rodgers did not turn the ball over against.
We couldn't have just done who the teams he beat the most frequently.
We've done that before.
You think these guys remember?
Look, there's only
Bears,
31
Vikings,
answers. Detroit. A finite number of answers that they can come up with. And again, there's teams I think you can automatically eliminate.
Yes.
So teams he has thrown the least interceptions against.
Go ahead, Jen.
Take it away, Jen.
I get the honor. I think we should start with teams. I think it's a good theory by you two. Start with the teams he's played the most. So I would say the Bears.
You're not listening, right?
You want to go the other way.
Oh, the teams he played the least.
So the teams he's thrown the least amount of interceptions against. Yes, 0 or 1 interceptions.
You know what? That's a good theory by you guys. We should go the opposite way of the teams that they have played a lot. So, I mean, Chew, what are we talking? We're talking AFC teams.
Yes.
I mean, like, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is not on the list.
Okay. Huh. All right, well, that theory really led me astray.
Let's go the Chargers.
He has, in 3 games, 0 interception against the Los Angeles/San Diego Chargers. 2 interceptions, by the way, against the Jags in 5 games.
Let's go.
So is this a percentage thing, too, or just?
No, it's just 0 or 1 interceptions.
Zero or one.
Go ahead again, Jen. You mulliganed.
Since you didn't listen to the instructions, obviously.
I do appreciate that we already have people lining up on the phone lines. Clearly veteran listeners here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Buffalo?
No, he's thrown two interceptions in a game against the Buffalo Bills.
Man, this is tough.
He has seven interceptions in seven career games against the Bills.
Let's go a game I know he didn't play against one time. Let's go New England Patriots.
Unfortunately, against the New England Patriots, he has thrown two interceptions in seven games.
All right, I get another one. Let's go with... he didn't play here. Let's go Chiefs.
Can we, time out.
Let's
do we need
Chiefs,
to guess the Packers?
Theory.
This is going to sound stupid, but do we need Chewy to guess the Packers? Is
he hasn't played against the Packers. Of the 31 teams that he has played, now you've hit every part of the instructions that you did not listen
understood.
To.
Yeah, okay.
But the Chiefs are on the least. Yes,
Kansas
the
City Chiefs.
Three games, zero interceptions against the Chiefs.
Okay, let's go with... let's go with the Tennessee Titans.
The Tennessee Titans / Houston Oilers is incorrect.
Gosh darn it, this is hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that I have the new title, I might be putting a stamp and making an executive decision to ban the segment.
Really?
You basically just said the boss.
Yeah.
We don't need to know your position. You can just say the boss.
800-990-3776. We need to go out to the phone lines. We are El Stinko in this topic. And you would think that it'd be easy because I would go a lot of AFC teams. I would go teams that they haven't faced a lot, which again, I did not originally do that, but that's neither here nor there. Let's go out to Sam in Maguanago. Sam, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you please, for the love of God, help us out on Top 8 at 8?
What about Raiders?
The Raiders is incorrect.
Ah!
In let's see, where are the
are
Raiders?
We crazy and not thinking NFC,
two picks in three games. He has thrown 11 interceptions against the Minnesota Vikings, in case you were wondering.
800-990-3776. Again, this is such a hard category. We have nobody else calling in right now because they don't want to be as embarrassed as I am for their guesses. Tell me what we have on the list thus far, Gabe.
Chiefs and Chargers.
That's it.
That's it. 0-1 interceptions in Aaron Rodgers' career, the eight teams that fit into that category. He's played 31 teams, playing the Packers for the first time, so the Packers would not be on this list.
Well, now he tells us.
Told you that the first time.
Oh, boy. Joshy's got some callers lined up. We're just efforting to get them on the screen. Who do we got, Joshy?
It's Q in Greenfield.
Q, help us out. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
What about Cleveland
Browns, I think he said?
Say that again.
Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, Cleveland Browns. Four games, zero picks for Aaron Rodgers in his career.
Okay, we're rolling.
Can you go again, Q?
Could you reset the list?
0-1 interceptions for Aaron Rodgers against these eight teams. We have three. Browns, Chiefs, Chargers.
Ravens.
Ravens is incorrect. Against the Ravens, he has four interceptions in four games.
Now, see, the Ravens have traditionally had a very good defense, so that would have been a little bit of a hesitation for me on that one. All right, now we got the calls rolling in. Here we go. Let's go out to Jason in Hales Corners. You're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I'm definitely going to try. The Indianapolis Colts.
Against the Colts, Aaron Rodgers has three interceptions in five games.
Good guess. So close. Let's go out to Matthew in Brookfield. Matthew, you're up next. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Commanders.
The Commies on the list. Ooh. Seven games, one interception for Aaron Rodgers.
All
We're
right.
halfway through.
Matthew, you got another one?
Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys, he's only thrown one interception in nine games.
See, I would not have guessed that because I figure they play so frequently. Good job, Matthew. You got another one?
Let's go with Saints.
Against the New Orleans Saints, Aaron Rodgers has thrown eight interceptions in seven games.
That's not good.
But we're more than halfway through. We've got five teams off the list of the 31 teams Aaron Rodgers has played. He has thrown one or zero interceptions against eight. Browns, Chiefs, Chargers, Cowboys, and the Commanders.
And in case you missed it, the Packers are not on this list because he has not played the Packers. He will, of course, this weekend.
What would the number be for Brett, Gabe? Like, he's only thrown seven.
Something like that.
Against
it would have
team.
To be, yes. It would have
he's
to be.
He's only
very...
thrown 10 interceptions
against
yeah.
these
this
teams.
Team.
Yes.
Let's go out to Jared in Omro. Jared, you're up next. Can you complete our top 8 list?
Are the Patriots one?
Patriots were already guessed. It was an incorrect guess, so we'll let you go again.
Okay. Texans.
The Houston Texans nice. In five games. Gonna... Aaron Rodgers, okay, one yeah. interception.
Nice.
Leaving just two on the list. One is zero interceptions. The other is one interception.
We'll try the Dolphins.
Against the Miami Dolphins, Aaron Rodgers has thrown three interceptions in six games.
Thanks for playing. Mike and Franklin, you're up next. Can you complete our top 8 list? We only have two remaining.
I'm going to guess the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers, in his career, has thrown two interceptions in three games.
So close.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, are these AFC teams?
Both are AFC teams.
Yeah,
we knocked off the two NFC teams of the Cowboys and Commies.
800-990-3776. Bill in Brookfield, you're up next. Can you complete the top 8 list?
Is Seattle Seahawks?
No, he has thrown a lot of interceptions against the Seahawks, 6-12 games against Seattle.
And they play him a lot. I think you got to go to the other side of the ledger, guessers.
I am surprised one of these teams was not guessed.
800-990-3776. I think you stumped them, Gabe. I think you've stumped the
listeners.
I mean,
we only have two teams left. AFC teams. Aaron Rodgers that has thrown zero or one interception against. Get the last one, you get the ESPN Milwaukee prize pack.
John in Milwaukee.
John, you're up. Yeah. Can you complete the top 8 list?
The New York Jets.
The New York Jets!
Good guess,
J-E-T-S.
Five games, nice. No picks, leaving just one team in which he threw one interception against.
Oh, man. Indianapolis Colts.
Colts have already been guessed, so you get to go again.
Stay on that side of the league, though. I think I know it, just process of elimination.
Yeah, I was about to say, we've guessed a lot of them.
Oof. Bengals?
Bengals is incorrect.
Already been guessed, right?
I don't know. Six interceptions in five games.
Darn it. All right, Justin in Lake Geneva, bring us home. Can you complete our top 8 list? One more AFC team that Aaron Rodgers has thrown zero or one interception against in his career.
Which was the last team said? I think.
The last team that was said was the Jets. So we have seven of the eight: Browns, Chiefs, Jets, Chargers, Cowboys, Texans, and Commanders. We need one more team.
Got to be this team I'm thinking of.
Let's go Tennessee Titans.
Already been guessed.
Oh, here we go. This is how he'll get the answer.
Yep. Already been guessed.
Okay. Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos! One interception in four games. Those are the eight teams. Aaron Rodgers has thrown one or less interceptions against.
I didn't
his
have
career.
The list in front of me. All I did was pull up AFC teams, and I was like, well, that's been guessed, and that's been guessed, and that's on the list, and that's been guessed, and that's on the list. And that was the only one remaining on the list of AFC teams. Justin in Lake Geneva, you're our big winner this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. So how does Mentality help? Well, they focus on testosterone and low T, but what they specifically focus on is your free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can overlook, ensuring treatment is tailored to your body. All right, so how do you know if you have low testosterone? Do you have low energy and motivation, fatigue, you're just tired all the time, you've gained some weight, have some muscle loss, especially around your belly? You feel anxious, moody, irritable, all those signs of low testosterone. So go to Mentality, mentalityhealth.com/radio, and book an appointment today. Go through their process that gets you a full physical consultation and blood panel analysis all in your first visit. And if your testosterone levels are low, you can work with Mentality, and then your energy can come roaring back. Your belly fat will burn off, muscle strength regains, More importantly, you just start to feel like yourself again, confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. So find out if you have low testosterone. Don't let it hold you back. Go to mentalityhealth.com/radio. That's mentalityhealth.com/radio to book an appointment today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story, because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh, and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar, and he puts a curse on you?
Look, stupid. I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We've been talking about mental health a lot more, and that is a good thing. Trying to weave it into regular conversation so that people don't feel uncomfortable when they feel like they need help with their mental health. And that's where BetterHelp comes in, guys. It's the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally, and it works. An average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. Our listeners get 10% off their first month. So if you find yourself stuck or feeling challenged and think you might need professional help, BetterHelp is the answer. Call #250. That's #250. Say the keyword timeout to get 10% off your first month. That's #250, because we are all better with help. Could have used a little help on top 8-8. Good grief. Do the Packers need help this weekend getting a victory over the Steelers? Let me tell you the thing that I am most concerned about when it comes to the Green Bay Packers facing the Steelers. And it's not a lot of things. Jordan Love has been playing out of his mind. He's been so good. But I am concerned about Aaron Rodgers targeting, going after Nate Hobbs in particular. So let's talk about it. We're talking about BetterHelp. Mental health is help. Visit BetterHelp.com. Say the keyword timeout when you dial #250. Are you guys as concerned as I am about Nate Hobbs being out there as a cornerback for the Green Bay Packers against Aaron Rodgers?
I mean,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm not as concerned. I mean, I guess it depends upon how much he's going up against DK.
Wouldn't you line DK up against Nate Hobbs as often as possible?
Yeah, but you like to move DK around as well. Like, I don't think you're going to go out of your way to make sure that you're getting that matchup.
What if I told you Nate Hobbs has a 134 passing rating against...
God bless America. I think I saw he's second or third worst in the league at the outside corner position.
So maybe not every play, but 80%.
They heat checked, right? They just heat. They saw what they did with Keyshawn and went, oh,
100%.
This is an easy thing. Just taking a corner from the slot.
Right.
We can get him to play the outside.
Exactly.
And I'm sure they saw similar things on film that made them believe the conversion would be possible.
And
it's been a where's my button failure.
This game will be like Cincinnati. He'll throw to DK, check down. Throw to DK, check down. Run the ball. I think Pittsburgh's offense will be very boring and methodical, try to eat up clock. It's just going to be the other side of the ball, I think. How good's Pittsburgh's defense against Green Bay's O?
Their defense is not very good.
Buns, as the kids say. What'd you say, 31 against the pass?
31st against the pass, yep. Mm-hmm.
17 against the run?
17 against the run, because again, well...
Why run?
When you can just gouge? And here's the thing. They're 31st in pass attempts. So it's not like teams are like, oh, they're number one in pass attempts, and that's why they're... No. Teams aren't even throwing that much against them. They're just allowing explosive play after explosive play.
Well, look, this was fun. Maybe I'll pop back again next week and hang out with you guys.
I look forward to it.
Will Deontosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee.